Back to Egypt now, where we began today's program. Earlier, we heard about the growing political divide among Egyptians. Now we shift to a much lighter topic, cartoons. Now, from my time living and working in the Middle East, I can attest to the strange popularity of cartoon characters in that part of the world. Hello Kitty comes to mind, and Tom and Jerry, believe it or not, are also popular. But SpongeBob SquarePants? The world's Clark Boyd explains.
Sickly fascinating. That's how my own kid recently described an episode of SpongeBob. It is, after all, about a giant talking yellow sponge that lives in a pineapple at the bottom of the ocean. The thing is, I always wondered if SpongeBob traveled well, culturally speaking. He and his aquatic buddies have been translated into many languages, including, says YouTube, Arabic. Sickly fascinating in any language, obviously. But here's something I wasn't prepared for, a Tumblr blog called SpongeBob on the Nile.
The best and most insidious part of this project is that people don't tend to notice SpongeBob everywhere until you mention it to them, and then you really do start to notice him everywhere.
Elizabeth Jaquette is currently a grad student at Columbia University, but she spent the better part of the past 6 years living and working in Cairo as a teacher. Jaquette tells me her own SpongeBob awakening happened about a year after the January 2011 revolution.
So you're walking through Tahrir Square and, you know, after the revolution there, after the first 18 days of the revolution, there were all sorts of street vendors that had set up shops, so selling tea and sweet potatoes and trinkets, and everything had an Egyptian flag. And when I came back in 2012, all of them were suddenly half SpongeBob. So the first picture I took was of SpongeBob making his way into Tahrir Square.
Jaquette says she was soon seeing SpongeBob, well, everywhere.
On T-shirts, on cupcakes, on balloons, on masks that vendors sell on the streets. I think one of my personal favorites is a SpongeBob tissue box cover, which was rather cute, absorbent on both levels there.
And so Jaquette and a friend decided to document SpongeBob's rise in Egypt by starting a blog. Scroll through the pictures and you'll be amazed. There's SpongeBob at the beach. There he is in a taxi. Yep, there he is on a hijab. And oh, there he is in scarily accurate form made out of pita bread, kebab, and vegetable chunks. And even though Jaquette is back in the U.S. now, the blog is still going strong. People from Egypt and throughout the Middle East keep submitting photos.
I think my favorite has got to be Maggie Fick, who's a reporter for Reuters, took a brilliant photo of SpongeBob in Martyr Square in Libya, and she was there covering the anniversary of the revolution, and people are celebrating. There's a woman waving a Libyan flag, and next to her is a life-size SpongeBob mascot.
Jaquette says the blog has documentary evidence of a similar mascot in Syria. Now, my instinct here is to push, to dig deep, to find out why SpongeBob is suddenly appearing so frequently across a region so filled with revolution, war, and chaos. Jaquette tells me, resist the urge to ask why.
You know, I think if I could answer that question, we wouldn't be running this Tumblr. Certainly, there's many theories behind SpongeBob's emergence in Egypt, and not just Egypt, but the region at large. But I think here, the question is really more compelling than the answer. I think if we knew the answer, we would stop taking pictures. Why is he so popular? Nobody's come up with a good enough theory for any of us, so we'll keep on taking the pictures.
Or, in the case of Egyptian pop star Hamada Hilal, singing about him. Great. Now I won't be able to get that out of my head. And you won't either. For The World, this is Clark Boyd.
Sampling of SpongeBob on the Nile's finer photographic moments at theworld.org. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston, I'm Aaron Schachter. Thanks for listening.